confession to make, Angel. Talked a big game yesterday. I give you a hard time because you got to go to bed early. Because you got to get up early. And I said, oh, not me. I'm staying up. Going to do this thing, 9:30-ish, whatever, for the CU-Utah game. I couldn't do it. I didn't even make it to the start. I finished the CSU-Nevada game, and I was out. I was barely hanging on for that game, Angel. Barely hanging on. Yeah. Couldn't do it, man. So I just, but they won, so they didn't need me.
Is that a sign that you don't watch their next game?
Oh, I gotta watch tonight. I can stay. I'm gonna stay up later tonight.
Well, if you watch tonight and they lose,
then is it my fault? Well, yeah, and I don't
you go to Nuggets games and look what happens.
That's true. The one game I went to this year was the one game after the All-Star break that they lost. In fairness, went to overtime. They were down 20 and went to overtime. You know, but I did watch CSU win the game last night. So some could say when I'm watching CSU, good things happen. But yeah, it was a great night. I mean, overall, you get the Rams beating Nevada. Nevada kind of made it scary toward the end, but CSU held on, and maybe they shook a little bit of that late game collapse reputation that they'd been gaining throughout the regular season. And then the Buffs win the game that they were supposed to win. Although, Angel, you tell me, man, what is Lunardi saying now with Colorado? Because I thought it was, you got to get it. You're not going in without the win over Utah. Well, the Buffs did that. They did get the win. They won 72-58. Pretty big. You know, it was a close one at halftime, but CU kind of ran away with this thing. And how about KJ Simpson and Eddie Lampkin getting Cody Williams back? I mean, he wasn't special in that one, but yeah, it was a all around great effort by this Buffs team. And now they'll go up against Washington State tonight, 8:30 on FS1.
So I don't know, depending on the timing, Lunardi put his most recent one out at 11:30 last night. I don't know if that was before or after the game ended, but he still has CU as a last four in team. But a win over Washington State would more than likely get him out of that play-in.
Get him out. You move him all the way past that.
The big bracket.
Well, Washington State, I mean, they're ranked, aren't they? Like nationally ranked?
I believe so.
I think they're barely in there. Are they 22? Okay. So that would be that. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt if you win that game.
The Buffs are actually favored in this game. 2.5 points.
Let's see. They, you know, in the regular season, CU won 74-67 against them and then lost 78-69. So, I mean, they lost on the road and won at home by about the same amount they lost by. So put them on a neutral site. I would imagine we're having overtime. It's going to be a close one. But how about, I mean, honestly, Eddie Lampkin, who I think has been up and down for CU this year, but he had 17 points and 12 boards. He was just absolutely dominating. And you look at Utah's Lawson Lovering, former Buff, 0 points, 5 boards. That had to be a little poetic justice there for Tad Boyle and his Colorado Buffaloes, the guy that left them last year, and then they had to replace him with another big guy, and they bring in Eddie Lampkin, and Eddie Lampkin shines, and Lovering is nowhere to be seen after 25 minutes of play. He had 5 boards and 3 assists, but that's it.
Yeah, so the Utes took the lead late in the first half. And then CU got it back going into halftime by leading by 4 and then held on to the lead all the way through the second half, 47-37 in rebounds, 50% from 3-point.
I'll get it done. That'll typically get it done. And a nice night again from KJ Simpson. 10 boards for him, 6 assists, and 18 big ones. And his stock's got to be going up. Cody Williams played 24 minutes but only had 6 points. He's trying to get himself back in to the swing of things. Maybe he'll be big tonight for CU. But if they lose tonight, then yeah, it's nervous time over the weekend for them come Selection Sunday. CSU's in. If they weren't in before, getting the win over Nevada. Yeah, they it's easy now. They're just improving their seed at this stage. They win 85-78. Again, they were up 10 at the half, but they should have been up 13 at the half. A weird foul call late. Nevada gets to the three-point line, and they make it a 10-point game. CSU kept pulling away, and Nevada kept jumping right back in, and then you kind of got a little nervous toward the end of the game. And Nevada cut it to like 5 or so with like a minute left, but you hit your free throws. And it was just an overall kind of a balanced night for this team. Jalen Lake, how about that? You need a guy to hit threes. He was the one to do it. He was 3 for 3 from the three-point line, and he was on fire. Joel Scott, you know, 11 points, 5 rebounds for him. He got fouled out late, but he's just a grinder. I mean, he just goes. I posted on X last night. This is the guy that just gets his lunch pail. It's like those old cartoons where you punch your clock in. He just goes and punches his clock in every single day. He comes to work. He plans on doing the hard work to get the wins. So he's moving around. Nick Clifford was dominant. You know, 14 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists for him. 2 steals and 3 blocks. Those are kind of a poor man's Nikola Jokic numbers right there as far as what Joker did a few nights ago. Just dominating each stat line. But he hit some key free throws late, 4 of 6. And then Isaiah Stevens kind of did his thing, 15 points, 7 assists, and 2 boards. And now the Rams go up against New Mexico tonight. And that is, I am very excited to see this game. Now, CSU lost to New Mexico in the pit by 2. That was the Dent drive in last, you know, it's tied up and Dent drives, just cuts through. And I think it was Jalen Lake on defense and he slipped. And Dent had the easiest traffic-filled shot layup he's ever had in his life because Lake slipped and New Mexico won that. CSU beat New Mexico to start Mountain West Conference play. Way back when, 76-68. And this is going to be a good one tonight. There's a lot of action. A lot of big games going on this weekend. The Avs have a huge one against Edmonton. It's a big game for them. The Nuggets have the Spurs and then the Mavericks on Sunday.
Yes.
They just want to try to keep pace. OKC won last night.
They did.
So they're back at number one. It's tied, but OKC does hold the tiebreaker. So the Nuggets have a big game, have big games just because they need to keep pace and especially keep pace before they set up for that Minnesota game because that will be key for them. And so it's just it's a big weekend, man. Hopefully both CSU and CU are playing in their championship games tomorrow. I think tomorrow afternoon, Saturday, the Mountain West championship game, I believe, is at 2 o'clock. The Pac-12 championship game is at 7?
Sounds about right.
Okay, so if the Buffs win, they're for sure in. They've changed their fate that much to the point where, yeah, maybe they're in. No, they have won 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I thought I was right. 7 wins. They've had 7 in a row, including the tournament win over Utah.
Yeah, and you're hoping for other teams ahead of them to maybe lose. Seton Hall did lose yesterday. Mississippi State's playing Tennessee right now. St. John's has UConn this afternoon. So if you can get those three teams to drop games, probably feel a little bit better about your seeding it in the tournament.
Yeah, that's true, and that's what CSU's doing right now. Like, as far as that motivation, there's the better you do in this tournament, the better your seed's going to be, the better position you're going to be in. So I think this is just, I'm always weird about conference tournaments and stuff. You know, should we figure out different plans, you know, because you already have people settled in. But this is what's beautiful about it, because it doesn't matter. Yeah, a lot of times you can win this tournament. Not a lot of times. You win the tournament, you're going to get in. You punch your automatic bid. But for a team like CU, the conference tournament, saving their season right now. If they end up getting in, we will look at it and say, well, they needed one or two more games, and they got it. So, and when the conferences are competitive, especially like the Mountain West, I mean, we start that thing off. Fresno State takes Utah State to overtime, and Utah State ends up dominating in overtime. And the very next game, UNLV and San Diego State That goes to overtime. And then CSU and Nevada ended up being a close game. So these games are fitting the, or, you know, they're living up to all the hype, Angel. And that's what you wanted in this tournament. We thought these games would be really good throughout. And New Mexico ultimately, you know, won by, I think, 10 against Boise State. But this is fun. This is a lot of fun, man. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. And the good has to be CSU and CU moving on in their conference tournaments, and specifically good for CU, for the Buffs. They got to keep winning. They just do. They needed that one desperately. And the Rams, hey, just makes a great season even better. The bad was the CSU-Nevada game. I don't have the number of foul calls on me, Angel. But let's see. They called fouls all night long. 26 and 24. 26 fouls called on CSU. 24 fouls called on Nevada. Just slows the game down. Hey, I know. You know, our boy Noob tweeted. He's like, hey, the refs are trying to get Nevada in. And even after watching the Tim Donaghy documentary on Netflix, which was fascinating, I still have a hard time thinking the refs are out to get people in college. But in the NBA, go watch that documentary and tell me it doesn't at least enter your brain. The ugly for me. How about this one, man? I was going to save this for the top story, but I can't. It's ugly. I don't like it. I don't like great players retiring when I feel like there's still gas left in the tank. Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald announced his retirement after 10 dominant seasons. If we start seeing the emergence of D tackles and more money and all that stuff, he's not only changed the body type of what a D tackle might look like, he's going to change their, he changed their role and how teams are viewing a D tackle now, more so than just a big fat guy filling up gaps.
Yeah, he's one of the best defensive players in his whole 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's probably been since I started watching NFL more closely. If not the best of all time.
Best defensive player of all time?
Yes.
He can make a case for it. He was a 3-time defensive player of the year. He's an 8-time first-team All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowl selection. And he was the defensive rookie of the year, too. And he got a Super Bowl.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. Easy. That's it. See,
making sure.
That's the test, right? It's got to be, bam, quickly. Got to go. He had 111 sacks. The second most among primary defensive tackles in a career behind John Randall. And I watched maybe the tail end of that guy's career, John Randall. But he was a beast. He had 137.5 sacks. And again, they didn't start officially statting sacks until 1982. But Donald is... There's a debate there. Because, again, the sack number is not just the sack numbers. It's what he did to disrupt a play. And this is what I'm saying, like, why D tackles might be getting paid more. It's not to stop runs from happening necessarily. Yes, that's part of it. But I want to manipulate the pocket. Quarterbacks can manipulate the pocket, so can D tackles. You can drive a center or a left or right guard and manipulate them in a certain way that disrupts the entire play. If that pocket crumbles before a receiver can even, you know, get halfway through his route, then you can disrupt a lot of things. And that's what you're going to start seeing now with quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. Like, these guys that can move, but they can also stay in the pocket a little bit. Lamar's working on that. But guys that are staying in the pocket more and can really sit and bide their time, let him run around, let Kelsey come back, get underneath, find the soft spot in the zone. Oh, nope, it's not there. I could take off and run. There's just too much time. So we talk a lot about emphasis on the edge rusher, but the D tackle, it's just a no-brainer now. If you have a guy like Aaron Donald, you can disrupt what they want to do, even if your cornerbacks are subpar.
Yeah, with edge rushing, your quarterback's able to step up into the pocket with a good D tackle. There's nowhere to step up into. And Aaron Donald did a lot of that with two offensive linemen guarding him.
Yeah, and batting the pass down. That's a big deal. Here's what he had to say. Throughout my career, I have given my everything to football, both mentally and physically. 365 days a year was dedicated to becoming the best possible player I could be. I respected this game like no other, and I'm blessed to be able to conclude my NFL career with the same franchise that drafted me. Not many people get drafted to a team, win a world championship with that team, and retire with that team. I do not and will not take that for granted. That's true, man. We thought he was going to retire last year. It was the rumor was there. But when a guy says that he gave himself to the game for 365 days a year, you can usually tell if they're feeding you full of malarkey. That's not one of them. That's a guy. You look at him.
Well, you wouldn't say it to his face.
Well, no, but just look at him. Does he look like he takes a day off?
No.
He looks like the Hulk, and that's the high. Like you don't. Not everybody just get like Mark Ruffalo in the movie just injects himself with green ooze or whatever it is, and he's the Hulk. I don't know, probably messing that one up a little bit.
Oh, it's radiation.
That's
so
fine.
It's
ooze, turtles. That was the turtles thing. Yeah. It's all green. But Donald doesn't have any magic formula. They test for stuff like that. This guy was the real deal. So dangerous, so scary. And just overall like a good, he's like a good guy. He didn't get in trouble, didn't do any bad things. Like
he's been probably one of the faces of the NFL
for
most of his career.
Yep.
How do quarterbacks feel today?
What division are the Rams in again?
NFC West.
Okay. The NFC West just feels really good about life today. They feel
Kyler Murray's like, oh, I can run around a lot more.
Oh, yeah. You know, San Francisco, you know, Brock Purdy thinking, hey, I don't have to worry about that guy anymore. And then Sam Howell.
I was going to say, new guy in Seattle.
Is there a quarterback competition in Seattle?
No.
Is it Geno?
No.
Is it Sam?
I think it's Sam.
Geno's back to the bench?
You don't trade for Sam to sit on the bench.
Oh, we dodged another one, man. We dodged another one of these, like, hey, who are they?
I don't know. He could make a name for himself.
He could. He very well could.
You go from Russ to your bridge. Now that's the guy after the guy. That's
well,
a big one.
And honestly, there's going to be a lot said for Seattle because during their bridge two seasons, they made it to the playoffs once, right?
Yep.
That first year.
Mm-hmm.
So they, well, obviously they won the trade. The guy we traded for is in Pittsburgh making music videos and stuff. Did you ever see the movie Zoolander?
No.
No?
No.
Have you seen the scene, though? It's probably been on TikTok or whatever, where because it's Ben Stiller, he's Zoolander, and he goes back home because he's given up modeling, and Vince Vaughn's his brother, and John Voight is his dad, and they work in the coal mines, and Ben's like, I'll just do what you guys do. And
yes. I've seen, yes, it's there's a meme of it where he's like walking with the pickaxe.
They said,
and stuff.
This is Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's a parody video in a couple of months.
It totally is. But no, that, yeah. So Seattle, Arizona, San Francisco, all probably pretty happy today. All those offensive linemen, too, that don't have to get knocked around from that dude. I mean, what a presence that guy was.
Centers that are looking at their guard, hey, do you want him? No. Talk to the guy on the left. We're going to double team Aaron. What?
What?
No.
Big Hub, can't believe you retired. One of my favorite players ever. Oh, he's, and that's one of those no brainers, man. No ballot, second ballot, eighth ballot, third ballot, fourth ballot. He's an easy first ballot Hall of Famer. But I hate the whole first through five ballots. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. What changes in 20 years, Angel? Why do that?
Changes.
It's marketing. Because we want, five? What do they do? How many do they put in every year?
Like 7 or 8.
We have to have 7 or 8 every year. And if we put them all in as soon as they become eligible, we won't be able to have our little thing every weekend, every you know, game 18 of preseason weekend or whatever that is, the first one, the Hall of Fame game. Can't do that if there's nobody to put in.
Sure.
Just decrease the amount of guys you put in every year.
I mean, eventually they're all going to get in.
Or just set up their celebration for, I don't know, I just hate the whole. Because that, to me, that demeans some of these guys. Like, if you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. And some of those guys that are just flat out Hall of Famers, who recently got in that was like, he was on the ballot for a while. And there was a couple on there that I remember looking at going, wait, they should have been in already. And probably should have been.
Okay.
Maybe it's hard
Ronnie
to find.
Ronnie Barber, Don Corio.
And those were, do we know if those were first ballots or?
These are the ones that got in. Chuck Howley, Joe Klecko, Darrell Revis, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware.
Zach Thomas probably is not a first ballot. He's been out of the league for a while.
Mm-mm.
And I would say he's a Hall of Famer. Why are we have to wait? Because we have to make sure we have enough bodies there for Hall of Fame weekend. That's what that's all about. Mm. Poll question of the day presented by Chipper's Lanes. What are you more excited for? What do you want to happen more? With all this stuff going on, you know, college basketball, the Nuggets, the Avs, the Broncos hoping to find their franchise quarterback. What would you like to see happen more in the next few months? Nuggets win their second title. Avs win their fourth title. CSU goes deep in the NCAA tournament. Or the Broncos find a franchise quarterback. I would have put the CU Buffs go deep as well. But you can only do four options on X. If you want to vote, the fifth option is available at thewholeshow.com. But it is a geographical thing, I suppose. CU gets, you know, back seat in this area. Fort Collins comes first. CSU comes first. Any guesses? Have you looked at it?
I haven't looked.
You can guess by my following, but we can also see on the website. Because the website's more, it seems like it's not as diehard CSU. My Twitter following, I definitely have a lot of Rams fans that follow me. So Twitter will tell you 61% say CSU to go deep in the NCAA tournament. And then second is the Nuggets to win second title. You think I tweet a lot about basketball or something? I wonder if that's why. I always just wonder if it's just my following or if that's really the feeling in the state. It's definitely not the feeling in the state.
I don't know. I mean, I think you were just in that season, so maybe it fluctuates a bit.
Yeah.
There's a lot more basketball games than football, so theoretically, there should be more basketball tweets.
And honestly, I think people are numb to the Broncos right now. Because, I mean, that's a big one. Well, the Broncos find their franchise quarterback. That's a big one. But that's... So, on the website, it's the opposite. It's Avs first. The Avalanche get their fourth Stanley Cup. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Broncos find their future franchise quarterback. Nuggets win back-to-back NBA titles. Then it's Colorado Buffaloes make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. Then it's the CSU Rams. Shocked by that.
That's a good mix.
Yeah. Twitter tells one story, or X tells one story, and the website tells another. 11:29 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. I got a fun debate going on that I want to get to in a little bit. Mad Dog Russo on First Take. I can't remember the show. Basically said Joker might be, at the end of the day, the greatest center in the history of the NBA. Oh, we want to play it? Let's get into it now? Let's do it. All right, let's do it. Here he is.
I understand why they made the Celtics the favorite, But if it's Christopher Russo's money and I had to make a play right now for a team to win it, I'm taking Denver. I love you can tell they have risen to the occasion in big spots. They've beaten the Celtics twice. They beat the Lakers in L.A. when LeBron had the 40,000-point game. I saw him play the Warriors about two Saturdays ago in Golden State. They did a tremendous job in the fourth quarter. They beat Miami last night in Miami, matchup, of course, last year in the NBA. I love this team. Now, they're not a great historical team. They got two great players. Murray's great. How he hasn't made an all-star team is ridiculous. And we know Jokic might be, at the end of the day, the greatest center in the history of the NBA. And that's saying a lot. He might be at the end of his career. He's that good. He's better than Shaq. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay,
he's better than Shaq.
Don't start with
Shaq. Oh, he is. And I'm not just Shaq. I mean, he's better than Malone, Olajuwon. He does everything. Jesus. He passes. He dribbles.
We
he
doesn't even have to dominate. Go there.
He is great. Jokic is great.
All right, there's Christopher Russo. Well, first off, he's got a couple of things wrong in his take there, even though it's all nuggets. They win a title this year. They are a historically great team. They won't be a dynasty yet, but it's not like they're just a one-shot Toronto or even Milwaukee at this point. They would be in the in-between. They would not be the Bulls, the Lakers, the Warriors, the Spurs. They're not there, no. But they're not the Raptors and the Bucks and all these one-offs that we've seen, or the 2020 Lakers.
The Mavericks,
right. Yeah, good one. They would not be there. They'd be in the in-between. So maybe I won't beat them up to death on that one. They're not a great historically good team.
In terms of, like,
they're just getting stats it going
and numbers. No, they're not blowing teams out. They're not winning 72 games.
But they ran through the playoffs last year.
Sure.
But I do think, like, in fairness, they're just getting it going. Last year was the first year Jamal and MPJ were both healthy on this team with a full season of Aaron Gordon, because that whole year when they first got Aaron Gordon, that was when Jamal went down, right?
Wasn't that? Aaron wasn't fully fledged. He was only there for like a few months.
He wasn't all in on the whole process yet. Remember at the end of that season when Gordon stood up at the press conference and said, I know what I need to do now. Mm-hmm. I know how I need to play with this team. And we always hear that. You always hear that. But Gordon actually lives it. He became that guy. So, I mean, to say that, sure, they're not there yet. They're on their way, though. And this is the second year with all of them together, with their big four. They had, call them a big four, just call them their base, whatever you want to call them. And KCP's always been a great addition. Also, the Jamal Murray thing. Listen, he is great. He is great. But this is the Russell Wilson effect, Angel. This is what I'm talking about. They don't watch they don't see the full story here. They see a couple of games on primetime that's on their network, and Jamal goes off. In this case, it's like the opposite of Russ, but the same. They don't look at the numbers. He doesn't have the numbers to be an all-star. You have to have the numbers to be an all-star. That's just 100%. If you don't have the numbers, you're not an all-star.
I agree. And, you know, you take that spin on it. I take, hey, Jamal, make sure you listen to this.
Sure.
We need you to get pissed off again.
Well, I want him to think that I actually wish they'd go after him. But instead he says he's great. How he's not been an all-star, I don't know. And I'm like, well, he's not there. Does he play like an all-star in his best? Yes, he can be. He's played like one in the last 11 games, but he just hasn't done it all year. Those are facts. Like, that's not even a debate.
How much is it, oh, he's still kind of coming back from the injury? I know that was 2 years ago at this point.
I think it's over. That's all. Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
I think when people hear Jamal Murray, it's either the bubble or it's the injury. Or it's not an all-star.
That's why, yeah. Well, the bubble, I mean, Anthony, was it Anthony Edwards not long ago said he thought Jamal Murray was the best player in basketball right now. And listen, I can go with him 50% of the way because Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde here. You know, which one's the bad one, Mr. Hyde? He's the bad one, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Dr. Jekyll is the average Jamal Murray. Because I'm going to reverse it. Normally the good one's Dr. Jekyll. He's the average Jamal. Mr. Hyde's when he freaks out and goes for 37. Yes. So Jamal's two different guys. Right now, Mr. Hyde has taken over for Jamal. Some people are going to be really confused by
go read a book.
What I've done with this here. So the other thing is Dominic Foxworth. He used to play cornerback for the Denver Broncos. I just remember growing watching him. He's like, he was on the no quit line, you know, for stop smoking cigarettes, and he's wearing his Broncos gear. And it's like, hey, it's Dalvin Fox. So I was always like, dude, that's like one of their faces of their franchise. And then he was gone. He has always been critical of any kind of take surrounding Denver. And this idea that he just flat out dismisses it. He said, don't even start with me on the comparisons to Shaq. Who doesn't love Shaq? I love Shaq. Great center. Great center. One of the best. But he doesn't compare. Tim Duncan's better than Shaq. And Tim was kind of more of a power forward center, kind of hybrid through some of, depends on the year. Mm-hmm. But still, if you want to say big man, Tim Duncan was better than Shaq. Joker is by far better than Shaq. Shaq was a 7 foot plus monster that could dominate people in the paint. And that's not, I'm not just saying it was his size. He knew how to use his size. He learned how to use his size. Never could hit a free throw. Couldn't make an outside shot. In all those years in playing basketball, he never perfected any of that stuff. Like, that's all you got to do is just learn how to shoot. Joker's growth from year one to now has been insane because he's learning. He's a student of the game.
Yeah, I mean, every year, you know, he's like a computer with an update, and he gets updated all these different spin moves and footwork techniques. And no, he's not the most physical guy in the paint. I mean, other bigs will tell you, yeah, he's throwing elbows all the time, but it's the way he manipulates the paint to his advantage and his teammates' advantage, where he's spinning, doing these crazy, I'm going to spin into a double team and still get a shot off type of domination.
Touch.
That's just, it's finesse.
He has touch. He can play basketball. He can dribble the ball down the floor. He can shoot from three. He can shoot from the free throw line extended. He drops little jump shots all the time, or whatever you want to call it, kind of a jump shot. Like
the Sombor shuffle.
Yeah, Sombor shuffle, or he barely raises his feet above the ground shot, whatever you want to call it.
Or crazy Anthony Davis, get out of my way.
I'm yes. He's got amazing skill. His skill is way better than Shaq. Was Shaq more of a dominant presence? Stronger? Yeah, sure. But the debate isn't that. It's who's the better center. It's Joker. Well, Brady, the championships. Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant. I mean Phil Jackson.
Didn't do anything with Boston or Orlando.
Nope.
Or Phoenix.
How many championships did he win in Orlando? How many championships did Joker win in Denver? Already won more than Shaq did before he paired with a superstar. How many All-Stars have been on the roster historically since Joker started in this league? Zero. Other than Joker?
Absolutely zero.
Zero. Debate over. Shaq didn't win titles until he joined Kobe Bryant. And then he won one more when he joined Dwayne Wade.
What about, I know they mentioned it there, what about Hakeem?
Now, I was really young when he played. But I remember watching him a little bit. I mean, they went to, I mean, did they win? They won two, didn't they?
Houston?
Yeah. Didn't they win? They won when Michael Jordan went to play, you know, stickball or whatever.
Baseball.
There it is.
Well, Birmingham.
I got to keep it up because I got a texter. It's like, why does Brady hate baseball so much?
Oh, yeah, stickball.
Stickball. So I think that's when Houston won.
Yes.
So Hakeem's.
Did they repeat that? No, that 2 year gap?
I think they did. I think they won two in a row.
Yes.
But Hakeem Olajuwon, correct me if I'm wrong, he wasn't like really a big time shooter, was he? He could shoot a little bit better than Shaq, but he had that hook shot down too. He had the hook down. See, I'd even go Hakeem over Shaq. And this is, again, I'm looking at touch. Michael Jordan used to say that honestly, or maybe it was Kobe, that they said if Allen Iverson was 6'7 or 6'6, he would have dominated and been the best player ever in the NBA. So you got to be fair on the opposite of that, too. Shaq, if Joker was 6'7 or 6'8, he'd be a really good power forward. He'd still have those same moves and everything. Shaq, 6'7, is he in the NBA?
I mean, what size is he playing at? Shaq's always kind of been just the big dude.
Yeah, but if you're 6'7, 6'8, you're big. Okay, great. You're still below the rim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not cutting. You're not playing outside of the paint. You're not doing any of that stuff. So Shaq is obviously one of the greats, and I love Shaq. But he's not those touch centers. Those are better basketball players, in my opinion. And again, I know I put this out there And there's a good debate going. Texter here from Kay. Joker's better than Shaq. All he has to do is make free throws to be better than Shaq.
Does a lot of it come from just Shaq being a very popular person and a good guy?
Shaq was, when he and Penny Hardaway, Anthony Hardaway, who's now, isn't he the coach of Memphis College? I think so. Maybe it's not Memphis. When Shaq and Penny Hardaway were on the same team together, they were just popular. Everybody loved those guys. The Magic. Those were the 90s, man. In the 90s, you wanted two jerseys. You wanted a Bulls jersey, specifically Jordan, and you wanted a Magic jersey, specifically Shaq or Penny Hardaway. I loved Penny and Shaq. Loved those guys. But he's not there. So I want to get into this debate more. I know we're already, here we go. We're blowing up the clock again, Angel. You know, it's what happens here. Got to take a quick break. I want to get into this because rings do matter, and I acknowledge that. Let's talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It is a tough debate. It is. I get it. Big Hub says, what about Shaq's dominance compared to Joker? Wouldn't that make him better? Well, where are you talking? Dominance in the paint? I mean, is that what you're talking about? Rebounding? Because, I mean, Joker's got you. I mean, what are Shaq's numbers compared to Joker's? The triple-double thing doesn't mean dominance? The fact that Joker can be in the paint with his back to the basket and find any guy, just the sliver of an open player, and play like a point guard with the body of a center and shoot like a three. He can shoot like a small forward. He can pass like a point guard. He's got the moves and inside big man moves like just a regular center. Not even a regular center. Better than that. I mean, I know. I'm biased. I'm a Joker guy. I get it. But watch the games. You know, it's like Dominic Foxworth. Don't kill that argument, man. If you have to be in that argument. It's ridiculous.
Shaquille O'Neal played 19 seasons for six teams. He averaged 23.7 points, 10.9 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 2.3 blocks.
And what is Joker's average so far compared to... I mean, Shaq only averaged 23 points per game? Come on. What are we doing here? I mean, and he averaged 10.9 rebounds per game? That's about what Joker does. Like, if you just want to look at stats, let's just look at stats. But I know there's a lot more to that. Look at the game. Big Hub says, could Jokic out-rebound and out-post game Shaq? I think he could out-post game him. I think he's too quick. I think Shaq would, a lot of times, he'd foul. Joker would go up and under so many different times. That footwork, watch this man's footwork, folks. Watch Nikola Jokic's footwork. Shaq had nothing like that.
So in nine seasons, Jokic averages 20.8 points, 10.7 rebounds, 6.9 assists.
Okay, so he's 2 points away from Shaq in the points per game. He's tied with rebounds, dominating in the assists.
Yes. That's the part that Jokic excels at that no other center does.
That's why they don't, and that's what drives me crazy when they say he's the best center. It's like his passing ability is like a point guard, man. That's why he's in the GOAT conversation. And when I say GOAT conversation, I'm talking top 10. You know, he's in the conversation. Is he deep? No.
He will be a top 5 player when it's all said and done, I think.
Yeah.
Right now, he's probably anywhere from 6 to 10.
How many MVPs did Shaq have? I'm going to take a wild guess, Angel. I'm going to say 0. I'm going to say 0 MVPs.
1.
Ah!
1999.
Joker's already beat him there. So Shaq has 4 titles, but he was Robin. Joker has 1 title and 2 MVPs, 3 coming up, and he was Batman. Joker was Batman.
Shaq does have 3 finals MVPs.
Again, without him, the Lakers probably don't win those 3. But he was Robin. Joker is the man. They build the entire franchise around this human being. How is that not something? How can we not say that's something? 51 minutes after the hour, Wrap up hour number one. This is going to be a fun debate. Let's hit this thing hard. Let's hit it hard today. I'm going to talk about the Broncos, too. I'm going to talk about free agency in the AFC West. What are the Chargers doing? Who are they? Who does Harbaugh think he is? All that coming up next.
Somebody's walking away with $1,000. Will it be you? Enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Bear Insurance.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, so we're going to get into this, Angel. We're going to unpack this thing. Because I am of the mindset Michael Jordan is the GOAT. He is the GOAT. Kobe Bryant is number two. The debate is now, okay, LeBron, Larry Bird, there we want to, you know, you got to put Bill Russell in there somewhere, Angel. But we're going to go through this thing, and it's going to sound like a lot of just Brady loves the Joker, but just hear me out. Man, somebody's got to do it. Last I checked, and we'll get into this more, how many All-Stars did Kobe have when he won three titles? At least Shaq. And you just told me he was an MVP. So not only did he have an All-Star on his team, he had an MVP. Pau Gasol was an All-Star. There's a few others that I'm missing. Michael Jordan, one of the titles, or two of them he won, was with Dennis Rodman, one of the greatest rebounders of all time. Scottie Pippen, All-Star. Some could argue that he could have been a GOAT if he had been able to flex his wings and spread his wings and fly away. Because last I checked, the Bulls didn't miss the playoffs while Jordan was playing stickball. Top story of the day, coming up next.